There's a lot of honesty here in this church, you know. And I think it's because we've been working intentionally toward the idea of a family, a church family. And with the idea of a family comes a lot of sharing and a lot of interaction. And I'm glad that we are learning, and we have learned. I think we still have room to grow. But we have learned to love each other where we are. Could I get an amen on that? And by loving each other where we are comes the recognition that anything that we have is not coming from ourselves, but it's coming from God. And hopefully when people who've never heard of our church come here, they look at us and they say, I want what they got, because they've got Jesus. And I don't know of any other time in history that's as important for people to be imitating Christ as today. I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 2 and then pull some lessons from it. Last year I spoke on the idea that Christ was born on time. Some of you may not remember that particular sermon, but I do. And I may echo some of those same thoughts today. But in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days." Remember me talking about those particular days and how Christ was born on time. He served his community and his family and his father on time. He was crucified on time, and he rose again on schedule. And I believe he's going to return again at the appointed time. But in verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass in those days." If you want some interesting reading today, read the first three chapters in the little book, Desire of Ages. And if you don't have it, go online and just type in Desire of Ages online, and it will come up and you can read it online. But you will discover there that when Christ was born, circumstances politically, economically, spiritually, were very similar to the way they are today. And in those days, Caesar Augustus made a law that the whole world, or in his world, should be taxed. And what it actually did, it moved people from all over the country down into Bethlehem. And when the miracle of Christ would happen, they would have access to that information, and it could be spread throughout all the country. Just as the story in the book of Daniel happened, when the three Hebrew young men stood before Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, "We will not defy you. You may kill us, but we will not go against the God of heaven." When they were rescued from the fiery furnace, the strangers there to Babylon went outside of their territory, and they were able to tell the story of the Jehovah God hundreds of miles away from the event that had actually occurred. God uses people not even of Christian faith to establish a tone and establish an environment for God's message or God's people to work. I think that today we are poised on the brink of a great opportunity for God's people. I'm not going to be negative about the opportunities that we have. Never in my lifetime have I seen so many bad things happening. True, yes. But never in my lifetime have I seen great opportunity for God's people to work. And we have opportunity for a while. No one knows how long the opportunity of religious liberty and religious freedom shall be exercised. We do know there is a limit to that time. I pray that it will give us long enough to do a greater work than we've ever done. And I appreciate the stories of John and the stories of having a live missionary, and many of you support him, and it's wonderful. I appreciate Tim and Don's work in the Philippines, the mission work and Adventist Frontier Missions. I appreciate it. It is written, and other ministries that are doing great work for God. But for right now, our assignment and my assignment is to support those as much as I can, but also to give all that I can to Murray County, to you as God's people, to this church. There's not a day that something doesn't happen to you. We hear the prayer request at prayer meeting. We hear the prayer request here on Sabbath morning. It's phenomenal that even though we don't understand the ways of God, we understand His heart. That's what the people really needed to hear at the time that Christ was born, and they would hear that message. Let me read on here. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was while they were there, the days were completed for her delivery. Now, In a previous message with this whole idea of time, we studied verse 1 of chapter 2. We studied verse 6 here of the days that would be allowing Mary to complete her pregnancy. And then we also went down to verse 11 where it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And the whole idea being that God knows how to work on schedule, and God knows how to work on time. And this coming year, I believe, is a time for us to work as never before as a family. If we do not seize the moment that God has allowed for us to have, who knows how much longer that we may live, or even how much longer that time may last. Unprecedented things are happening around us, and we are not blind to that. None of us can prophesy or predict the political arena and be able to predict with accuracy how the new president is going to impact the economy or international relations or religious liberty around the world. I just know one thing. When God chooses to work, God can use people who are not even believers, or God can use those who do believe. Now, you believe. I think part of our challenge is trying to balance the mind of God or the heart of God. And there's contrast there. I was talking to Daniel this morning, and in previous conversation, we have talked about how God takes a bad situation and make something good come out of it. That's really easy to say. But none of us here really understand that. In this very story that we are reading here, are characters that eventually would be placed with a great decision. I think of the exacting mother of Christ. No one could know circumstances of her pregnancy better than she would know. The angel had told her that he would be the Messiah. Angels had proclaimed his birth and announced it openly in the sky. The disciples would follow him. And the shepherds and the wise men that would come. But almost all of those characters, you can trace it down. They would have to deal with circumstances that would be almost unexplainable to a God who knows everything from end to beginning, and a God who would sing peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and then they would see John the Baptist beheaded. Mary, the mother of Christ, would see Jesus himself crucified on the cross. I am sure there were times when they would rely upon their understanding of the heart of God more than their understanding of the mind of God, allowing such things to happen. God is not the author of pain and punishment and suffering. God is the originator of good and happiness and joy, and I'm going to preach that till I die. We have a moment here. When the world is suffering around us, and even when we are suffering ourselves, to grab the time and say, God, circumstances today are very similar to when you were born. We need you, we need your power, and we give you permission to work in us. When you begin to understand the heart of God, I think it allows you the ability to take advantage of the moment and the circumstances of life happening around you, and other people will see in you something that is supernatural. The greatest gift that you can give God this year is a decision to follow Him. Is a decision to serve Him to the best of your ability. I cannot honestly stand here and tell you that all is well. I can tell you that all is well with God. I can read you the scripture here where it declares that unto us is given a Savior. And I'm going to read from Romans 5. Our great challenge is surrendering to the power of God and acting upon the convictions that God gives us and being willing to accept help from the family. I've discovered that some people are stubborn. And they're not all in the Stover family. Some of you are hearing the voice of God speaking to you. And you are saying, yes, Lord. Others of you have shared with me. We've prayed in my office. We've prayed here. We've prayed over the phone. And you say, Wendell, I know what's right to do, but I am weak. I marvel at honesty. It's a good thing. When we are honest with God, that's what allows him to be able to work. To seize the moment of where we are in time, living before Jesus comes, it's a wonderful thing. But to seize the moment also means that we allow God to grab us. And as a family in unity, planning for this coming year and visioning what we can do and not do, brings with it interesting challenges. It brings with it interesting results. I marvel at the way God works. In a thousand ways, God wants to speak to us. And what greater time than during the holiday season here? We have Thanksgiving, which sort of sets the mood for an attitude of praise. And then we hear all the Christmas music. Really, we need to sing Christmas music more often during the year, don't you think? That's a hint, Bruce. But it brings with it a unique opportunity to join our resources together as a family, cast out Satan, defeat Satan, claim victory in the Lord. Keeping the prayer in our heart that he will save our kids. I mean, we have a lot of unique things in our faith. And living just before Jesus comes, when the Bible predicts there will be great changes in all areas, a uniting of church and state together, God has called you and God has spoke to you to live a certain way. Or maybe God is trying to speak to you. You know, he doesn't get our attention the same way. And I don't buy into the idea that God always uses sickness or divorce or bankruptcy or a car wreck or some other event to get our attention. God can use that. I know in Bible times we have biblical evidence. When God begins to speak to someone, he's not limitless. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Imagine that. Spoke to Jonah out of the belly of a whale. Spoke to Joseph through dreams. Spoke to Paul or Saul in the New Testament from a donkey's mouth. Spoke to Cornelius from a dream. What does God have to do, Misty, and Becky, and Roy, and Tommy, Charles? What does God plan in his future to get our attention? He wants your attention. Beginning today and into next week. Spoke to Elijah through a still small voice. Sometimes I get inspired just from being here at church and listening to you. It builds up a desire in my heart. I want to be here as often as I can. I want to be around you. I want to be around people of like faith. People who sacrifice. People who are not willing to let Satan have victory in their life. people who are willing to show to people who say religion is not good for me. I like to be around people who know the difference between right and wrong. And I like to be around people who are normal. That's all I want to say about that. Luke 2 and verse 10. Then the angel said to them, this got the shepherds' attention, do not be afraid. You know, that's a major reason why people do not make decisions for Christ, is they are afraid. It's a major decision. It's a major reason why churches sometimes do not make decisions that require faith. It's because they are afraid. I think if we use wisdom and discretion, and as a family, we can take the words of that mighty angel to heart with us, where it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, here's a take-home lesson. In Bruce's prayer, he prayed something to the effect that, Lord, we need your help physically. That's for all the people who are sick. Spiritually, That's for people who wander away from God and come back. That's for people that have a yo-yo experience with God, but somehow they keep bouncing back, and praise God for that. It's for people who are faithful, but you don't understand the mind of God, but you understand more of the heart of God. That's for you. Physically, spiritually, and mentally. That's where the benefit of family and support really begins to take place. That angel said, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the King.